Hi and welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking. With just me, Louise Fletcher. Alice decided at the last minute to take another quick holiday before the end of the summer. Good for Alice. And I have something I want to talk about. So this won't be a long episode and it might be a little bit of a controversial episode. So I'd love to hear what other people think because I'm not, you know, wedded to my opinions about this. But I want to talk about the idea of feedback when it comes to our art and my objection to it, my innate dislike of it, so much so that not only do I not ask for feedback on my work anymore, but I also don't like giving it and I don't encourage it within the groups that I teach or on the courses that I run. And I want to just talk a little bit about why, and the reason is so you can tell me why you think I'm wrong if I am, because I know lots of people disagree and I know all of our education doesn't work this way. But I want to talk about how I feel about it and then see what you think. So I really appreciate anybody who looks at my artwork and who takes the time to comment even more so. And whether they are positive or not positive, I just appreciate them looking. But there are comments that do really make me cringe. And these comments actually make my whole body contract. And the comments that are challenging for me are suggestions. They are sentences that start with things like, why don't you try? Or next time it'd be lovely if you would. And it most often happens when I share my portrait work, particularly my self-portraits. So I shared one this week on Instagram. And if you want to look at my Instagram, it's LouiseFletcher_art. And it's an image with drawn in charcoal with me standing in front of the image. And this portrait, this drawing, started to almost touch on what I'm trying to get to in my work. Almost touch on, not there yet. I don't need feedback to tell me that I'm not there yet. I know that inside myself. It felt though raw and honest and almost authentic. And it's that authenticity that I feel I'm constantly in search of. And most comments acknowledged that rawness and the authenticity and the emotion in it. But there were a few comments from people who said some version of, can we have one where you're smiling next time? Or, oh, you don't make yourself look as pretty as you really are. No, you bloody can't have one where I'm smiling next time. I will never, ever, ever make something. I sound like Taylor Swift. We are never, ever, ever. I will never, ever, 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 ever make something because it was suggested to me. And I will never change what I'm doing in my artwork because other people don't like it. This is my art and I get to decide what I want to make. And I wonder, do you feel the same way? What is your reaction when someone offers unsolicited criticism or suggestions? Can you stand in your truth or do you feel yourself waver? I'm teaching for the next few months and many of my students are still at the stage where they actually do waver. Not only waver, but fall over. Like they ask for permission. They really, really care what other people think. And over the next few months, my job as the course leader is to lead them away from those concerns. I'm here to help them understand that the rules they've become accustomed to living by in real life, where we consider other people and we check in with other people, do not apply in our art. So in real life, we follow rules and we seek approval. And of course, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but seeking approval is an evolutionary development. We need to belong to our tribe. This is amateur psychology 101. But we need to belong to our tribe, so we try to fit in. But art is about the opposite. Artists don't fit in. If artists had job descriptions, don't fit in would be like second on our list of duties, I think, right behind speak your authentic truth. But it's much easier to fit in. It feels much easier to pander to what other people want. So I know an artist whose husband liked it when she paints realistically, So she went in that direction. I don't know if that's the direction she would have stayed in if her husband didn't like that. Maybe you have an artist for a parent and they scoff at bright colours, so you ignore the fact that you love them, or you feel terrible disappointment that Facebook friends don't love your new painting style, and this makes you rush back to where you feel familiar and safe. But if you think of any artist that you admire and ask yourself, what was their main concern, authenticity or approval? I think it will always be authenticity. I really believe that art isn't art if it's not honest and personal. You might disagree, and that's okay, but I will not change my mind about this. So to me, Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan is art, and Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake is a song, a pop song. They both have their place. I love a good pop song, but they're not. Let's not confuse them for the same thing. One was made in the pursuit of something new, and one was made for a commercial purpose. So with these self-portraits that I'm working on, I've been interested in figurative work for a while and it keeps pulling me back. So I work abstractly a lot of the time. I work on abstract landscapes and just general abstraction, but this pull for figuration just keeps coming, and I want these portraits to be more than just pictures. I have zero interest in flattering myself. I don't want to show myself looking happy or smiley. I want to paint my insides, and I want to paint the parts of me that are not usually seen. So I'm usually on the outside smiling and being polite to people. That's how we live our lives. I want to paint the other parts of myself. And I'm doing this for myself, not for anyone else. So I'm not picturing an exhibition. I'm not imagining, you know, a group show. I'm not imagining people even buying these things. This is for my exploration, both of my own psyche and of my own creativity. And if people love it, that's great. If people don't like it, that's great. Either way, I'm on my own journey and making my own work. And this is where I come back to this idea of critique and feedback. So a couple of times in my art life, I've asked for feedback. Actually, three times that I can remember. One was a formal critique. One was exploratory conversation with a potential mentor. And one was booking a session, actually with Alice. All of these were years ago. And the idea was for me to get some understanding of what I was doing and to move myself forward. The first critique was pretty unhelpful, because the person went through my paintings and told me how composition or colour could be improved. And I couldn't understand or grasp it because it wasn't related to what I was trying to do. And I didn't have the words to express exactly what I was trying to do, because the way I find what I'm trying to do is by painting. Conversation with Alice was very helpful because she stayed away from commenting on, if I remember, this was quite a while ago, but she didn't comment so much on individual paintings as do more of a good job of teasing out of me what it was that I was trying to do. So I did find that conversation helpful, but I wouldn't have said that was a critique or feedback. It was coaching and counselling more than anything. And the exploratory conversation with a coach, I still feel bad about to this day, because that person gave me a lot of time free. It was one of those initial consultations, but he spent a couple of hours and gave me some really lots to think about. But I didn't pursue it because he began to bring up other artists and say that my work reminded him of these other artists, but those other artists didn't resonate with me at all, and I couldn't see where the thread was because it wasn't my thread, it was his thread. So I didn't pursue that mentoring relationship. And in the end, I decided, you know what, I have to do this on my own. What Alice did for me in that conversation where she teased out the ideas, I just have to tease them out myself as I go. Because if I'm counting on somebody else to do that, I'm always going to be dependent. I have to find my own way of getting to that point. And as for the feedback on composition and colour, and you should try this and maybe you could try that, that's only ever thrown me off. Like in that conversation where I got that feedback, I remember changing several paintings and then just getting really lost, because those were that person's preferences based on that person's attitudes and ideas, and didn't help me to move my own work where I needed it to go. And because I have a clear sense of what I want to achieve in my work, I don't need anybody else tell me when I'm not achieving it, or I am achieving it, or how I might achieve it more. I can kind of see that for myself. Perhaps the place where critique works, and this is where you can tell me when you in the comments when you see this posted somewhere, perhaps the idea is that people do offer some insight or something interesting that makes you look at your work in a new way. I don't quite know. I do know I've had a couple of informal conversations with artists just who've been in my studio where a comment or some observation they've made has been helpful to me in opening a little window into what might be possible going forward. But it really has to be very delicately done for it not to completely throw me. It's the same reason that I no longer take workshops or classes where the teacher shows you how to paint like them and you follow their process. I went on a workshop with David Tress years ago, very well-known and successful British painter, amazing semi-abstract landscapes. Nice man, fun 3 days, but the whole purpose of the 3 days was to copy his approach to painting, to go out and draw like he does, to come back and make paintings in the way he does. And it threw me off when I got back. I was off my own style and off my own path for quite a while. And I think as artists, we are very sensitive. So I suppose it makes sense that we would easily get pulled off. Certainly, I am very sensitive to outside influences. And I need to keep my art very insular and very much my own thing. And maybe this makes it harder. Maybe without that outside feedback, it takes me longer to get where I need to go. I'm quite open to the possibility that that's true. But I also think that for particularly observing students in the course, and I know many of you are very listening, are very experienced artists, so this won't apply to you. But others listening are not so experienced. And where I see beginners, intermediate artists stumble or fall down is in this desire to have so much feedback. One of the questions we get asked when we open the course for enrollment is, how much one-on-one time will I get? How much personal feedback will I get? How much will you tell me what you think about my art? And of course, the answer is not at all, because I don't agree with it. And because what I'm aiming to do is to give them the tools to do that for themselves. Teach a man to fish and he can fish for a lifetime kind of idea. But there's more to it. There's more to my desire to get them to critique their own work and not ask for my feedback than just wanting to teach them to fish for the rest of their lives. It's more important than that. I think, circling back to what I think art is, if art is something that moves us, that comes from the other person's inner being to our inner being, which I think it is, if we want to make art like that, it has to come from our true, authentic, deep down selves. It can't come from our authentic self tempered with a little bit of consideration of what the gallery wants, of what the spouse likes, of what the Facebook community responded to last time. It has to come from within our true authentic selves, or it cannot make that impact on someone else. So when John Lennon wrote Working Class Hero, which was on either his first or second, I think his first album after leaving the Beatles, maybe his second, but very soon after leaving the Beatles, he made this song Working Class Hero. Absolutely nothing like anything the Beatles had ever done. Really raw, really quite brutal in the lyrics. Just him and an acoustic guitar. If he was writing that song and thinking, yeah, but I wonder what the other guys in the band are going to think. Are they going to laugh at me because this doesn't sound as good as... Is this not going to be a hit and Paul's out there having hits? or if he'd have thought, I wonder what the Beatles fans are going to make of this. He didn't, he just wrote his song, and as a result it hits you in the gut when you hear it. Lots of people might not have liked it, but lots of people did, and they appreciated it far more than something poppy and charty would have achieved. So we've got to make our art from that deep down place. And that is actually easier than we think it is. It just means that we only do what we want. It just means that we only follow our own curiosity. And we never, ever adjust our artistic decisions to please other people, either real people or people we imagine in our head. Because if we genuinely always honour our own choices, our own preferences, our own desires and our own interests, then we can't help but make work that is unique and interesting and personal and that touches some other people, not all the people. Actually, it might repel a lot of people, but it will draw in and attract some of the people. But if we try and adjust to someone else's choices, preferences, desires, interests, we start to dilute that. We start to dilute the genuine authenticity of what we're saying so that it starts to become fake and shallow and ultimately, I think, pointless. And so this is where I get stuck on critique and accepting feedback. And it could be just my personality that cannot take in and then filter out and confidently move forward, that it actually gets battered and knocked by all these other people's opinions. That totally accept that that could be the case. But I also want to put forward an argument that it might be the case for you, that we're not all meant for critique. And how many times have I met artists who gave up painting after art school because of the brutality of art school critiques, who now turn out to have something really interesting to say, but who never got that little flower of creativity nurtured in a safe environment, but instead got it crushed because their confidence couldn't handle that kind of critique. And I imagine that those art school lecturers would say, well, this is all part of being an artist and you have to learn to live with it. And I just think, bollocks, it's not true. It isn't necessarily part of it and you don't have to learn to live with it. It might have been once in the way the art world was once upon a time, but it's antiquated now because everyone can find their own audience and their own way of doing this. You don't have to fit into some masculine model of how the art world should be and that you have to man up and toughen up and blah, blah. You don't have to do any of that. You can be a delicate flower and still make your art. But I would love all of us to grow from delicate flowers into strong, sturdy plants with our roots in the ground where we feel proud and secure in what we're making, regardless if anybody else understands, likes it, cares about it, sees what we see in it. I don't say this to say that if critique is valuable to you, you should stop doing it. Of course not. But I say this if you're someone who has found yourself buffeted and bruised by critique and feedback, to say that you're not the only one. There are others of us out here who also don't like that process and who are much happier in working on our own and finding our own way and in not imposing our own views on other people either. So in my courses or in my membership, I will never adjust your image and show you how the composition could be different if I did it this way or that way. I'll never change the colours to show you what that would do. It's your piece of artwork, and to me that feels like a violation. What I will do is share with you principles and ideas that you can bring into your world and say, yes, maybe I could use that here. Let me experiment with that here. And I'll try and encourage you to have the experimental spirit and the spirit of curiosity so that you will go and explore those things and you will find out for yourself what works and what doesn't. And maybe that's a slightly slower way of learning. But I think for many of us, it's an essential way of being taught. I think for many of us, we need to be free to find our own way without being set off on the wrong direction, knocked off course, have our confidence shaken by someone who is well-meaning, really trying to help, but actually is just imposing their view of the world and how art should be onto us. So if you are looking for someone for coaching and assistance, I think you have to be very, very careful if you are like me. So little mini rant over. If you disagree with me, feel free to let me know. I shall be posting this on my Facebook page and you can leave comments there. I also post it on my website at Louise Fletcher Art, where you can also leave me comments. I believe on Spotify, you can actually leave comments. I know I see them in the back end of our podcast system. I don't quite know where they go after I approve them. It's a bit confusing to me, but I do see your comments. So if you disagree with me or agree with me, let me know. I'm interested to know what your take on this is, because maybe I have it all wrong. So that's it for Art Juice this week. Have a lovely creative week, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.